We as an education profession have a hard time bragging about all the wonderful things that are happening in our classroom. But you know what? Most of us are in it for the right reasons, and we're in it to really work hard with these kids, and we really need to showcase that. Where do you learn about the school? You learn it on the blacktop. So I'm out there, you know, at recess, hanging out with kids, doing jump rope activities, doing different things, just getting kids moving and having fun. It's okay to fail and model that and share our circumstances. That's a win. Because fail, first attempt in learning. We need to create a culture at our school where it's okay to fail. Every staff room had one thing in common. And that one thing in common was that people were scared to take that step, to do that leap, to go outside the box and be the one that kind of changes it.
Welcome to the Rethinking Learning podcast series. I'm Barbara Bray. This is where I have conversations with educators, leaders, and change agents about their passion to transform teaching and learning. Welcome, everyone, to the Rethinking Learning podcast series. I'm really lucky today. I have Ryan Shee here. And I just have to tell you about Ryan. I found Ryan through other people, and I'm going to talk about that. But Ryan is principal of Highlands Elementary School in Concord, California, which is 20 minutes over the hill from me. So it's so cool to find someone close. Ryan's a blogger who came up with something I just had to share with my audience. It's called Be the One. Welcome, Ryan.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
Oh, I'm so excited. You know, I wanted to learn a little bit more about you, so I went to your principal page on your website, or your school website, and, you know, I really love that you share pictures of your family. You know, it makes that personal with your kids and with the parents. Can you just tell me a little bit about your family and your background?
Yeah, no, for sure. So, kind of going way back, I grew up in San Diego. I'm the second oldest of eight kids. So kind of teaching started early for me because I had to wrangle all the kids. Kind of had a diverse education background, went to public school. Then I got homeschooled for 3-4 years. Then I went to private Catholic school. And then I went to public high school. So I've kind of got the gamut of everything. Met my wife in community college a couple weeks after I turned 18 and got married, been married for 12 years now. And I have 4 beautiful children, Robert, who is 10, Joshua, who is 9, Juliana, who is 7, and Zachary, who is 4. So we have a busy household, and we're currently moving right now, trying to find a new house. So it's a very stressful time at the Sheehy house.
Wow. And it's, you know, in the San Francisco Bay Area, that's kind of tough because everything's so darn expensive here.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, I hope you find a good place. And close to work, too. Close to your school. That would be kind of nice. So you know how I met you? It was Adam Welcome. He's the Director of Innovation and Technology at Mount Diablo School District, which is your district. And he said, you know, I really want you to check out Ryan's, check out his website or his blog that he's doing, Be the One. So I did. And I'm just blown away. You're writing every day. How did you come up with this? It's exciting.
Yeah. No, so it's kind of funny. I met Adam. He was my vice principal in another district. And so when he came onto this district, he really encouraged me to start blogging. And so I took the challenge head on, and I try to put out 1 to 2 blog posts a week. And you know, it was something that I feel really passionate about. And it's something that I found my voice through blogging. So, I've worked at 14 different schools, because I was an elementary physical education teacher. So I'd have 6 schools at a time. And then the next year I would have 3 schools at a time. I've worked at every single level, and every staff room had one thing in common. And that one thing in common was that people were scared to take that step, to do that leap, to go outside the box and be the one that kind of changes it. And so that's something I extremely feel passionate about, that one person can affect the life of a child and change education for all. And for me, I've been the one, you know, really pushing the envelope and changing things. And now it's really time for me to share my message and my manifesto with the world. And it's something that I am extremely passionate about. I think that we all have the power to be the one. And it's a motto that I live my life by. And it's a motto that all educators should live their life by, because we're in the business of kids and we need to be the one for them. And we need to be the one for each other, be the one for our families, be the one for education, and just be the one for life.
Wow.
Yeah.
I love that. It's just, when I saw that, it just hit just what I was looking for, because people out there, you know, when you go into, like you said, you go into faculty rooms, a lot of time it's tough for teachers. Mm-hmm. They don't feel like, you know, what they're, they don't even know how valuable they're, what they're doing and what it is. And so the way you're framing it is, it really touched my heart. And there's one of them, I guess I went back a little bit, and there was one that says, "Who tells your story?" And I just want to read the two questions that you gave to teachers that, you know, kind of tells about the climate and the culture in their classroom. You said, "How do you connect with your families? And how do you tell your classroom story?" You know, I love those. And why did you come up with those? And have you used them with the teachers? I'm just curious.
Yeah, you know, and you can walk into a classroom and instantly you can get the vibe and the feeling in the classroom of, is this teacher on Twitter? Is this teacher showcasing everything that they're doing in the classroom? We as an education profession have a hard time bragging about all the wonderful things that are happening in our classroom. But you know what? We're in it. We're in it for the, most of us are in it for the right reasons, and we're in it to really work hard with these kids. And we really need to showcase that. And we need to be the one that tells that story, because so often we hear all about the negative things in education. We don't hear about the positive things. And my goal, every school is going to have negative. Every classroom is going to have negative things. Each day we face that adversity, but we need to be the one that flips the script and tells the positive story. And I think that if we can flood positivity in our classroom and through our story, through social media, through our newsletters home, through the way that we connect with others and share our successes and our positives with everyone, that's going to decrease our negatives and only increase all the positive things. So I really feel that, yeah, I ask that question to teachers. I actually lead, I'm doing some summer learning presentations. I did it back in June. I'm doing another one next week, doing a presentation. And I ask those questions. Those are the first two questions I ask, because I think it tells you how invested they are in it. Because I think too often we're afraid to do things and they just need that little extra push to tell the story, because I think, oh no, we need to keep things private. We're not allowed to share. No, you are. You are. And sometimes that feels like bragging. It's not. It's not. It's showcasing. Showcasing our talents. And we as an education profession have so much power to share. You don't need to recreate everything. You need to be able to take what other people are doing and make it better. I'm in a PLN, a Principals in Action group, that I'm connected from West Coast to East Coast with principals all across the country. There's about 100 of us there. I'm not recreating this stuff. I'm not creating it. I'm taking what they're doing and changing it to how it works for me and kind of shaping it how it's going to work for our teachers and how it's going to work for our profession here in Mount Diablo Unified.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ryan, I just want to say what you just said, because that's the reason why I'm sharing stories too, because I'm in a different position. I find that sometimes it's hard for people to tell their own stories. So I'm like Adam as he nudges people. I nudge people and I connect them. And I'm trying to get the story out in a different way, because I love your blog, but I want to get people to it. And this is one way. So that's why I'm really excited about talking to you, and hope this helps other principals and other teachers, because I feel we're all in this together. It's all, like you said, it's all about the kids. And we don't have to reinvent the wheel. We can help each other. So I love that. So I'm going to come to another blog you did on relationships. And I'm actually trying to write one right now about relationships and culture, because I'm working with a school in El Cerrito. And I'm a coach there. And we talked about not doing any academics the first 2 weeks to build culture. And so we'll talk more about that. But I just feel like you mentioned that you need people that challenge your thinking, not just like-minded folks. And so you wrote about a fourth grade student. Can you share a little bit about that blog and what I'm talking about?
Yeah, no, definitely. And, you know, relationships for me are the center of my world, you know, and it's being a teacher who wasn't solely at one site made me dig deep as an educator in teaching to really create those relationships with teachers and students, because I was at the school site for one day a week. I remember one of my first years teaching, I started teaching at 21. My degree posted in February. Literally the next day I started teaching. I took over mid-year, had about 120 kids in my class. Every time, and I had two senior instructional aides. So really thrown in right away, absolutely loved it. And it really got me thinking and really building those relationships. And I remember working on one of the corridors in our district that is extremely low poverty, walking out on the blacktop, and different gangs would be on the blacktop recruiting. And it's kind of like, so really kind of to shape kind of the situation that we're in, kids were looking for positive role models, and kids were looking for positive connections. Where do you learn about the school? You learn it on the blacktop. So I'm out there, you know, at recess, hanging out with kids, doing jump rope activities, doing different things, just getting kids moving and having fun. And I noticed there was a kid over kind of making some bad choices, kind of going between a group of kids that weren't making always the best choices and a group that was making decent. So I kind of brought him over and we started talking, you know, and really forging that relationship. And one of his things was, oh, I love soccer. You know, I love soccer. So we actually started playing some soccer together, and it was a lot of fun. And I started teaching him when he was a fourth grader. I had him again in fifth grade, and we just continued that bond. When he turned fifth grade, his sister came up to fourth, and she's like, I've been wanting you all. I've heard about you for the last year. And it's like, so it was a lot of fun. And at the end of his fifth grade year, I said, hey, you know, I've had so much fun really building that relationship with you and playing soccer. I gave him a soccer ball, and he was so extremely excited. I mean, we're talking an area where kids can't afford to have that kind of stuff. They don't have soccer balls at home. And so he's like, hey, Mr. Sheehy, would you sign it for me? and so I said, oh, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, I signed it with a little message to him, and, you know, kind of went on from there. And I still run into his parents at Costco. And, you know, they still come up to me. He's now in college. He was actually our server a couple months ago at Cheesecake Factory. It was awesome. You know, he came and over. But that's what it's about. It's about building relationships. And no matter where you go, you got to do it. You know, I've worked in high schools in the high school is totally different ball game, totally different. But you've got to take the time to build those relationships with students. It doesn't matter what your role is. I've had students in my office that just every morning, that's their safe spot. They come in and they want to check in with me. And, you know, I've heard the absolutely worst stories possible that can happen to kids. And I've heard the best. And I think from working in the lowest socioeconomics to one of the highest socioeconomics, I worked right outside the gates of Blackhawk in Danville. Kids need somebody. We all need to be the one for them. Be the one that builds those relationships, make those connections, and change their lives forever. We have the power to be the one for them.
Oh, gosh, that story was so wonderful. And I love that there's personal like that, because all of us can make that change and make an impact in a child's life if we take that risk. And reach out, and that, you know, that one you you talked about being an advocate. You know, when you wrote one of the posts about your wife and how she felt in school, I had the same experience. So I was really able to connect, and where I got the support I needed was at Diablo Valley College. A teacher reached out to me and said, "Hey, you're really a good writer." No one had ever said anything about that, and it helped me push myself the next level. And so it just takes one person and one adult to recognize and listen. because a lot of times kids don't listen, right? So you know, who is your advocate? I'm just curious about you.
So growing up, I think my advocate was my mom. You know, we didn't always see eye to eye, especially during our homeschooling years. But I think she would have gone through any wall for me. She would have broke down any barriers for me. So, you know, that was huge. Now my wife is my advocate, you know, and she's pushing me to be a better person and to be a better husband, better educator, better writer. I'm not a writer. I never classified myself as a writer, but now my Be the One blog, I've had over 12,000 people come in and read it. You know, and that's the awesome power about it is really having the advocate that pushes it. You know, I've surrounded myself with people that I want to be like. I want to increase my level and my rigor in my writing. You know, Adam Welcome has been a huge mentor to me and a close friend. And so, you know, he's one that's believes in my message and he believes in my writing. And so that's been huge for me as well. But yeah, definitely when I was a kid, my mom, and she still is an advocate for me. You know, I think our parents will always be advocates for us, just in different ways. But my wife is definitely the one that pushes me and makes me be the man I am today.
Wow. That's a wonderful relationship to have. And you probably do the same for her. I mean, that's what a good marriage is all about. But it's also, you can take that, what the support you're getting, and even model that for others. So that's really beautiful. Thank you. So you wrote this quote, "Kids don't remember what teachers taught them. They remember how teachers treated them." So it is about building those memories in a positive environment. Again, this brings up relationships, but the way you wrote that blog helped me connect with you. And if educators share their memories, good and bad, that they have with kids, is that okay to be vulnerable?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, vulnerability and to share those real life experiences is huge. And now that's going to look completely different in elementary school to high school. I think that's the piece that people need to be worried about. People come and seek advice from me all the time and be like, "Hey, is it okay if I talk about this?" Yeah, it is. But we don't need to always get into all the details, you know? And I think to show kids that we're real, you know, is important. I remember I was the advisor for our leadership at Concord High School. And, you know, we're talking about, you know, successes and failures. And I said, "Hey, I ran cross country in college. I was not ever a cross country runner. I swam and I played water polo. And I just ended up following my wife to Cal State East Bay. And they didn't have guys water polo. So I said, I'm going to join the cross country team. And so I want to be part of a team. And so I did it. I was horrible. Absolutely horrible. I came in last place almost every race, but I did it. And I was consistent on it and stayed with it. And I think that sharing those kind of stories with people, it's not me gloating. It's not me saying, "Oh yeah, this is something I did really well." No, it's okay to fail. And that's the piece. And if we can relate our stories back to it's okay to fail and model that and share our circumstances, that's a win. Because fail, first attempt in learning. We need to create a culture at our school where it's okay to fail. And so that's kind of one of my big messages this year to my staff and to my students. It's something that I started last year. Kids could come up to me all the time. I fail on a daily basis. And they go, "Mr. Sheehy, fail harder." Yes, that's what I like, because I want to see them take those leaps and those chances to go out and do that. And if we can model that as educators through our own personal stories and just admitting when we do it, that speaks volumes to us, and it teaches our kids to go out beyond, you know, and create those relationships, because kids are going to remember how you treated them. If they failed at something and you call them that and you say, "Hey, like my wife's story, you're never going to read, you know, you're not smart," that kind of stuff, that's never going to enhance a student's relationship. We get way more out of a classroom if we have a positive relationship with that teacher. Think about it as adults. When we go into staff meetings, if you don't respect that person talking or you don't have a positive relationship with them, you're tuned out, you're done, you're listening. Same thing is happening in our classrooms. And that's the piece that we need to do a little bit of self-reflection on. We need to be the one that can sit back, think about it, challenge it, create those relationships, and establish a positive classroom environment where all kids can learn.
Well, I love that, because the whole idea about failing, many of us grew up not feeling very comfortable because the way the system was set up, it didn't allow for failure. It didn't give you a chance to redo or relearn again. And so when you fail, you are taking some chances, doing it over and over again. It's that perseverance that we need to really encourage in our kids. So we need to model that also. So I'm glad you're doing that, because, I mean, this is one of the things that I talk about a lot, and I'm excited that you're doing that. So it'll be fun to follow what happens in your school too. It'll be neat. So I have that latest post you put up on Keep Moving. I get it, physical education. I get it that you brought that in. Do you want to say anything about that last blog that you just did on
that? So, you know, it's kind of funny, because it takes me back to my physical education teacher days. One of the things that I used to do to stay motivated, because it's hard being at so many different sites, and it's hard not be able to really be part of staffs because you're always moving. So one of the things that I used to do is I used to write, it's funny thinking back about it now, I would write for journals, physical education journals and websites. And I would kind of talk about how can we enhance physical education. Kids need to be moving. And so I wrote this latest blog, and just kind of what are some easy ways to get kids up and get them outside and get them moving. Because we often, there's so much pressures put on teachers, classroom teachers, especially in the elementary level, of like, you need to hit this, this, and this. And physical education isn't a outside class like it is in middle school and high school. It's something that I expect and we expect our classroom teachers to be providing on a daily basis, you know? And so my latest article, my latest blog post was really about being the one that gets kids moving, but not necessarily taking away from content. You know, using physical education and using physical activity in a way to enhance the classroom experience, enhance curriculum, enhance relationships. I guarantee you take some of those tips that I put on there, and you're doing that, you're creating relationships, kids are loving you, kids are listening to you, and kids are more engaged.
So I'm going to be putting links to all of these. Awesome. Each one of the ones we talked about.
Thank you.
Is there anything else you want to add and tell me about what you're going to be doing this coming year?
I'm going to continue blogging a lot this year. I have about 10 blog posts ready to go out anytime that I want to publish. I'm on fire right now with the passion for Be the One. And I think that's my manifesto. And that's something that we all need to live by, because I think there's so much passion in there that we can really invest our time in there to create relationships, accountability, trust, and just elevate all our game. And I think that the more that we can get our messages out to people, the more that we're going to become better educators for kids. And that's the bottom line. We're at a time in education, federally, nationally, that we need to show that there's amazing things happening in our schools. And I know that amazing things happen at every school. We need to showcase it. We need to celebrate it. We need to continue to grow as individuals and continue to grow as educators and be the one.
So I want to tell all of my audience here, this is the reason why I brought Ryan here, because all of us can be the one. Ryan, this has been amazing, and definitely going to follow your journey. We'll be writing a blog post to go with your podcast and link to all of the wonderful posts that we talked about. But we're going to have to bring you back.
Awesome.
So thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Thank you for listening to the Rethinking Learning podcast series and my conversation with Ryan Sheehy. Make sure you visit us at barbarabray.net to learn more about Ryan and how you can be the one for kids. Please subscribe so you can join the conversations.